Now, yesterday on the programme, we were talking to Barry McCaffrey in relation to the story about No Stone Unturned and how the journalists had no case to answer. And there seemed to be some surprise from people listening to the programme. There was no apology forthcoming from either the PSNI or the Durham Constabulary. And I want to speak to Alison Morris, who's the Irish News Security Correspondent. Alison, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, this story, of course, I think rung a bell in the heads of every journalist who would have been following it or simply reading it. And you're writing about it, and you've been writing about it on a number of occasions. Do you think an apology is possibly coming down the line?
I think not just an apology, but an explanation. I mean, for journalism, and I mean actual journalism, the kind of sort of investigative journalism that Barry and Trevor were doing, that many journalists in the Irish News do, it requires you to be able to access and have the confidence of whistleblowers who will give you information. And that is a time-old tradition. I mean, we look back at the biggest stories of the past decade, the parliamentary expenses scandal, the Panama Papers, all those things all came from leaked documents. The issue with this is that the PSNI decided to bring in Durham Constabulary to investigate the leak of these documents and arrested the journalists as a result. Now, if that was the case, they'd have to come and arrest every one of us if they were going to start saying that whistleblower documents or leaked information was breaking the law in relation to journalism. And the judges agreed with the two journalists. They had said that it was entirely inappropriate and that journalists had every right to protect their sources and protect where their source material came from. So then you have to question as to why this ever happened in the first place. And I think there's a very complex reason, and it's something that the PSNI's George Hamilton leaves and the new chief constable takes over will have to have some internal reflection on. We know that there's tension between the PSNI and the police ombudsman, the police ombudsman's office, and that's been going on for some time. And I think that the root of all of this is that issue there. The issue was with the ombudsman's Loch and Island report, the PSNI, while they publicly accepted that. I think there were some officers within it who were unhappy with that, and this whole thing all stems from that. But it is an important principle of press freedom. The judges have ruled that. I think that as we go forward, what we need to do is the PSNI, first of all, need to explain why they began this investigation the way they did in the first place. If they had issues in relation to those documents, and anyone who's watched the documentary No Stone Unturned will know that Barry McCaffrey speaks about getting that document posted to him anonymously. There's no hiding the fact that the information came from that document. It wasn't as if it was a big secret and they were trying to cover it up. Why it needed search warrants in people's houses to be raided at 7 o'clock in the morning and why it couldn't be done in a different way. And all of that is something that I think the PSNI need to explain, and then in the fullness of time, need to apologise to those affected by it.
Trevor Burney said yesterday that he feels senior members within the PSNI who are ex-members of the RUC can't, deep down in their own minds, accept that the collusion existed in the way that it did in this case. They just find it hard to accept it.
And that's always been the case. I mean, as long as I've been reporting on Legacy, you'll get conflicting views of what collusion was or was not. I think that some people, when I have interviewed people, they believe that information that was passed on was not collusion at all. And in other cases, you can see that there's indisputable evidence of collusion. There is a difficulty to accept that. And the problems with all that are wider even in this story. That's to do with our legacy mechanisms and the failure to deal with the past and address that in a proper way. So what you have now is you have no government mechanisms in place to give victims answers. And that falls to all sorts of other things, such as the endless litigation that we see in the high courts and the inquest courts, and the journalists like ourselves, to give those victims who feel that they've been abandoned by the state and the police, sometimes for decades, a voice and to examine that. And a large part of all our careers, which probably singles out journalists probably from Northern Ireland from those working in any other jurisdiction, is that we do deal with the past quite a lot, and investigations into the past are part of our work, and that has always been the case. And the patent reforms are meant to address all this, and this year year will be, you know, come November, the PSNI will be 18 years old. It will basically have come of age. And I don't think that when those reforms were put in place that we expected that 18 years on, we would still be dealing with policing problems that sound very, very like something from the 80s and 90s, very, very like something that you would associate with the RUC and not with the PSNI.
How much of a negative is it for the police that their critics say that they made more of an effort to investigate the alleged break-in at the Ombudsman's office than they did the murder of the men watching the World Cup game who were murdered at the Heights Bar in Loughton Island?
Well, we know that those victims have never got justice and those families are still hurting. And the fact was that the Ombudsman, there was never any reported break-in at the Ombudsman. What the issue was is that information that was in an Ombudsman report in an unredacted form was posted to Barry McCaffrey. I mean, as far as I know, the actual original of that report never left the Ombudsman's office. But I mean, I think that when you look at what happened, if you look at the Irish News Today, I have a story in today in relation to one of the people, I'll not name him on your show, but he was named in the documentary, who was one of the suspects in the Loughton Island massacre. And his statement to the PSNI, or to the Durham Constabulary, you can see that he was approached. He says that he was approached by the police and that he was asked questions in relation to how his feelings were and how he was feeling after the documentary was aired. And that's quite extraordinary that you would get someone who was linked through a lengthy period of time to the UVF and to loyalist terrorism and to multiple murders, not just those at Loughton Island, and that you would go and seek him out to find out if his feelings were hurt because he'd been named in a documentary by two investigative journalists.
And was this approached? Was this approach to this alleged killer made by the PSNI or by Durham Police?
By Durham Constabulary, because they were brought in to do the legwork on this. The Chief Constable had decided that because it was an investigation into the police ombudsman, it would be inappropriate for his officers to carry it out. Mm-hmm. So while the PSNI assisted Durham Constabulary, it was done by Durham Constabulary, and that was brought out in the court case that took place last week and this week in the High Court. You know, barristers for one of the two journalists had said that there was a note in one of the Durham Constabulary's officers' notebook that basically said these people had been, you know, hounded and persecuted simply because of their previous involvement in terrorism, which is quite an extraordinary statement to make. And when you think about that, that would be okay if that was happening at a time while victims were getting justice and people had been prosecuted and brought to book and answers and all sorts of other things were happening, but we're not. You know, those victims are left in limbo. So you have to ask where the priorities and where the money is being spent. We are always told that there's no money for these legacy investigations, that the PSNI budget is under massive strain, having to police the past and the present, but yet money was found from somewhere. And I mean quite a lot of money. I mean, we haven't yet got the final figure, but I would be surprised if it wasn't in its millions to investigate this documentary. And that, again, I think seems quite extraordinary.
And do you genuinely think that the police were showing more sympathy to the person who's believed to be the UVF killer, who still lives not a huge distance from any of us? Do you believe that that person has had more sympathy from the police recently than the families in Loughton Island?
It certainly seemed on the face of it that they were very sympathetic towards him. I mean, one of the things he said was that he couldn't go and work in West Belfast anymore as part of his company because he had been filmed by the documentary crew working, I believe it was Trumbrook he was working at the time. Again, you have to say, I mean, if that was just something that was being done at the same time while the family knew that there was an investigation into the death of the loved ones, there was a possibility of prosecutions, you might be able to stomach that. But at a time when we know that there is no investigation ongoing into the Loughton Island killings, that they were told, and they were told at the time that no stone would be left unturned. And as we enter into the period that we're in now in 2019, you can't blame them for thinking that, you know, no stone was unturned at all, you know, that the stones were all there very much in place. The documentary is quite extraordinary, and some of the things it uncovered were quite extraordinary. We knew through writings in the past that the problems answered the Ombudsman, the problems of the Loughton Island original investigation. But I think that this, for the PSNI, was a complete done goal. I think as George Hamilton leaves his job this month, his legacy, that this will be the last, probably one of the last things that he deals with in the policing board when he answers questions this Thursday. I don't think for him is something that will cover him in glory as he goes off into whatever he does next. I think he probably would have wanted his legacy to be much more positive than it is now. And it also raises questions as to what's going to happen with the new Chief Constable, Simon Byrne. We have a man coming in from outside who probably doesn't, is going to have to get to grips quite quickly with the complexities of our political and policing system that's going to have to deal with this mess and mop up the mess from it. And again, you know, as journalists, you may not, you know, I hope he doesn't think he's going to get an easy ride, because I think that what this has shown is that in Northern Ireland, we do have investigative journalists and we do have quite tenacious journalists who will hold the state and powers to account. And that's the reason why I became a journalist. I'm sure that's the reason Brian McCaffrey and Gerard Burney do what they do as well.
Just one final question to you, Alison. The person who has been named as the killer of the innocent people in Lochan Island, has that person made any attempt to sue any of the newspapers that have named him?
No. And he was given ample opportunity by the filmmaking crew who wrote to him on several occasions and wrote to his solicitor on several occasions. The Irish News also had dealings with him at the time. He actually did make a complaint in relation to the Irish News GIPSO, which is the oversight body that governs newspapers, and that was rejected. He lost that. So, no, and he has never made any attempt to sue them. And I think that, you know, in itself is quite a sort of blurred statement to make, because if you were totally innocent of these crimes, you'd want to clear your name, wouldn't you?
Alison, it's a very relevant point. Thank you very much indeed. Alison Morris, who's the Irish News Security Correspondent.